Welcome to Words of Inspiration from the Terryville Congregational Church, located at 233 Main Street in Terryville, Connecticut. The sermon entitled Star Gifts is given by the pastor, the Reverend Zachary Mabe. Words of Inspiration from the Terryville Congregational Church.
Today we read the Epiphany reading as we are observing Epiphany. It comes to us in Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you. You are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was mentioning that throughout the course of my time in ministry and talking to people of all ages, I've really enjoyed listening and seeking wisdom from people that are our seniors. And I love to ask people, what are your keys to life? What has brought you a happy life? What has brought you a healthy life? If it's someone that's older in years, you know, what has been your sort of advice for a long life? And there are common themes that have emerged in people's advice to living a long life. And of course, we know a lot of the ones that you would sort of guess would be the answer in terms of the common answers, like, you know, exercise, rest, eat healthy, all of those that are kind of a given. But there's some other ones that have kind of become themes, and I mentioned that some of those are to release worry where we can. Almost everybody I've spoken to has said, you know, obviously you can't do it perfectly, but try your best not to worry so much and not to obsess over things. Don't hold grudges. In other words, learn to forgive. And kind of related, stay out of other people's business. That's a common theme. And I say that that's kind of related to the not holding grudges, because I find that when we do get into other people's business, it leads us either to more worry or more holding of grudges. So it kind of is related to those first two. Now, Charlotte and I were talking, and Charlotte in her work deals with seniors. And she has a wonderful catchphrase that I hope it's okay to share. And these are also advice about living a long, healthy life. And she calls it the three M's. Manage, meaning manage your health. Nobody else is going to manage your health except for you. Meaning, like, know what your medications are, know what your schedule is, know all that stuff. Mingle, meaning be with other people, mingle, be social. And move, meaning, you know, stay active. I like that. I like the three M's. added with those ones I mentioned. Release worry, don't hold grudges, learn to forgive, and stay out of other people's business. I just read an article this week that adds one more to all of this. There are new studies being done that are showing when we continually challenge ourselves or are challenged by outside forces, both mental thinking kinds of challenges and also physical challenges, such as physical exertion, both of those help with aging. So the article concluded that if you continually challenge yourself to go to new levels in your life, both physically and mentally, that will help you as all of us as we age. You know, learn a new language, learn new music, learn something, and at the same time challenge yourself with physical movement. And I would say, this is where I'm going with all of this, if there's one thing about our faith, at least that I've found in my life, it is constantly challenging. I think our lives of faith are constantly challenging. I think our faith calls us to go to new levels. And this is good news, because these challenges also help us to live healthier as we age. I think God wants us to be challenged in that way, and then I think also it just naturally happens as we go through the ups and downs of our lives. Now, we're observing Epiphany. I have a lot of books in my office that are like that thick and thicker. And I looked in as many of them as I could this week, just because I was curious to see if there were any different sort of definitions of Epiphany. There's little variance, but for the most part, this is what it boils down to for Epiphany. The manifestation of Christ in the world. Originally celebrating his baptism and his first miracle that happened at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Only in later centuries did the emphasis become more about the visit of the Magi, and then the baptism and the first miracle received separate days to celebrate those happenings in Jesus' ministry. In other words, the original celebrations of the Epiphany were about four things. Jesus' birth, of course, marking that celebration with this amazing visit from the Magi as they followed this star to Jesus and then giving these gifts to Jesus. Jesus' baptism, which took place 30 years later when he was age 30. And then Jesus' first public act of ministry at age 30 when he attended this wedding and he performed this miracle where he turned the water into wine. All four of those things were originally celebrated when people celebrated Epiphany. And so it was this grand celebration of all that Christ is. His humanity, his divinity, his majesty, his ministry. This grand celebration of who he is, his origins, and how he works in our lives. The manifestation in terms of his birth, but also in the giving of gifts and the receiving of gifts, the Magi's gifts, the gifts of his baptism, the gifts he gives as he goes out and serves and preaches and heals people and performs miracles, a huge celebration. As I said, only in later years did the church forefathers start to sort of separate that into, okay, let's just give this day as the day of the Magi, and then let's give this Sunday as the baptism day, and this Sunday to celebrate the first miracle at the wedding. And so Epiphany really is a time to think about all of the things that Christ does in our lives, all of who he is and all of what he does in our lives. And I think part of what he does is that he continually challenges us to get better, to live the life of faith fuller and deeper, to learn more and to grow. And one of the things I love about these star gifts that we're going to give out is that now we can think about this all year. We can think about the word we receive. We can research that word if we need to or want to. We can try to apply it in our lives, and we can try to grow in the way that we share this word, or the way that this word touches us, or the way that we use the word in our lives. For example, let's say you receive the word mercy. You can look up the definition of that word. You can think about how you might apply that word. You can think about how the word might apply to you. What might God be trying to say to you through that word? And you can ask yourself, is there a way that I'm currently lacking in the way that I show mercy? Is there a way that I am doing wonderful things with that word mercy? How can I grow in this area of my life? How might I include this word in my prayers? And perhaps ask God how God is calling me to use this word in my life. And as we said when we did this a couple of years ago, anyone that would like to is welcome to share your story of what this word means to you in your life. You can write a little article for our newsletter about it. You can stand up in church and talk about it. You can certainly talk about it during coffee hour. How you've used the word, or how God has challenged you with the word, or how you've grown in thinking about that word and what it means in your life. Some people like to carry it in their wallets. Some people like to put it on their fridge. Some people like to keep it in their car. However, it's going to mean the most to you. And as I said with the students, it's a wonderful way, I think, to remind ourselves that God leads us, just like the Magi were led by that star. God leads us like that throughout all of our lives. If we're focused on it, if we're open to it, if we're ready for it. And so this is the other thing, and I'll close with this thought, that I would like us to remember with Epiphany. Epiphany is a wonderful reminder to look up. To look up in our lives. Not just at stars, or not just at, like, when it's snowing, but to look up as often as we can, meaning to be aware in life, to literally look up, but also to look up metaphorically, like to be open to our surroundings, to be ready to listen to people that are approaching us, or what's happening in the world, or what God is calling us to do, to be aware of everything going on around us, because we kind of live in a world that tends to have a down focus, you know, this. Or, just looking down at our feet or whatever. You know, people, you know, especially in New England, right? You walk by people and, you know, down south it's, hi. In New England it's, move out of my way, I'm in a hurry. So Epiphany reminds us to look up more. Just to be, open up your posture and to kind of be aware of what's going on around you. And I think as we look up more, we're more ready to respond, and we're more open to mingling, perhaps, moving, managing. If we kind of remind ourselves that the Magi had to look up, maybe we should look up too. Certainly won't hurt. It's kind of like our coffee hour. I think of this so much in my life. I don't know who did it, but whoever did it, you are an angel in my life, because I think about it so often. Downstairs for our coffee hour in the kitchen, there's a little poster that tells you how to make the coffee. And at the bottom of it, it gives you all the instructions. And at the bottom of it, it says something like, and say a prayer. It won't hurt. I think about that so much because it applies to the coffee hour, but it applies to all of our life, right? Say a little prayer. It's not going to hurt. Look up. It's not going to hurt. I hope that we will do this in this new year. I hope you'll share your stories about your star gift, and we can apply them, and it will remind us all that Epiphany is something to celebrate throughout the year. Amen.
You have been listening to Words of Inspiration from the Terryville Congregational Church in Terryville, Connecticut. The sermon entitled Star Gifts was given by the pastor, the Reverend Zachary Mabe. For more information about the Terryville Congregational Church, visit the church's website at terryvillecongregationalchurch.org. Write to the Terryville Congregational Church, 233 Main Street, Terryville, Connecticut, 06786, or call the church office at 860-589-0182. And now, may peace be with you.